Lord Jesus, we celebrate your goodness. We want more of your presence. We need it. We feed off of it. That is our food. Your presence is our drink. You and only you showing up in our hearts is what makes the day worth living. It's what gives us the fullness of joy. Lord, we ask for more of your presence. Please, today, give us more of your presence. Fill us up. Bear fruit in us. In your name we pray. Amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. If you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to iTunes Store and put Michael Ryan's B-O-O-S. And you should be able to find me. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 1. He entered Jericho, Jesus, and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Just quick context before I continue. Tax collectors were not people who were esteemed very highly. They walked around with two Roman soldiers, or at least one, and they were in charge of collecting the tax. And often they would take more than they needed to. They would get at least what they needed to give to the Roman officials. But then they would take more for themselves, and you couldn't deny them because they were, since they're a symbol of authority. Now, Zacchaeus is a Hebrew man, so he's going around to his own brethren. He's a chief tax collector. So he's not just some errand boy. He's pretty high up there. He's made a living off doing this for, I guess, some number of years of swindling his own people and making them pay taxes to the Roman official. Well, really, it's to the Roman emperor. And so he's just not a likable man at all. I just want to give you that context. And ironically, this meeting is coming right in the heels of a parable Jesus tells in Luke 18 about a Pharisee praying and a tax collector praying. The Pharisee looking up and saying, God, I'm just so grateful I'm not like this tax collector. I'm not an adulterer or a swindler, and I fast two times a day and all this stuff. And the tax collector didn't even want to look his eyes up into heaven and just said, Lord, have mercy on me, beating his chest. And Jesus says that the tax collector went away more justified. So I don't think it's a coincidence that this interaction is going to happen. Maybe it was a precursor. Maybe that parable was a precursor of what was to come. But verse 3, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. You know what I appreciate about Zacchaeus? Is that he went out of his way to see Jesus. Do you do that? I encourage you to. Really, go out of your way to see him. To experience his presence. Because you're going to see how his presence impacts. When Zacchaeus got a sense of Jesus' presence, I want you really to hone in on the kind of response that he had. But, you know, we really should be going out of our way to see the Lord. I mean, he went and climbed a tree. I mean, he foresaw that he wouldn't be able to see Jesus, so he went and used his brain, used the resources around him to see him. And it reminds me of the parable of the talents. I'm not going to get into it, but essentially using what you got to make the most of Jesus. That's how I see it. And that's what he did. And I encourage you, use all the resources you have to see Jesus. Please, everything, the internet, the Bible, friends, family, just be seeking and worshiping Jesus. Do everything you can to be just getting in on the presence of Jesus and inviting others and just showing his love through you, because that really will bless you, as we'll see in Zacchaeus. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Boy, I can imagine how happy Zacchaeus must have been to see that. He didn't even know what Jesus looked like, probably. He's never even met the man. And yet he just went up into a tree to see him, and Jesus stops underneath the tree and looks up and invites himself to come at his house. I mean, Zacchaeus must have been happy, and indeed he was. Verse 6, and he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he is going to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. That goes back to the context I gave you in the beginning, where he was despised for what his occupation was. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, look at the impact that the presence of Jesus Christ is having on this man. Listen to what he's going to say. Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. When you enter the presence of the Lord, you're going to really experience how unworthy you are and just be blown away by how worthy he is. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6. In Isaiah chapter 6, he went into the presence of God on the throne in heaven. And it's amazing to see his response. If you just turn over to Isaiah chapter 6, if you can, quickly, I'll just read an excerpt of it to you. It says that in the year of King Uzziah's death, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Wow. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another, saying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. And then listen to Isaiah's response. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, a man of unclean lips. And I live among people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now we know that that King is Jesus Christ that he saw. He didn't know that, but we know that from future revelation. That reminds me of Zacchaeus. I mean, when he saw Jesus, when he got into his presence and looked in his eyes and Jesus spoke to him, the first thing he did was repent. The first thing he did is realize how wicked he was, and he wanted to make it right. And that really is what happens when you worship the Lord. You know, when you invite the Spirit of the Lord to fill up in you, and when you sing his praises, he just washes over you, and you just really get to accept how unworthy you are and just desire to be just holy, you know? It's like he just does something in you that's so amazing. He really does. And I like this account here, because Zacchaeus just went from being this chief tax collector, probably on his lunch break trying to see Jesus, and now he's made up his mind to give half of his possessions to the poor. And guess what? Anyone who he's defrauded, which is probably most people, he's going to give back four times as much as what he took from them. So he's pretty much giving away all of his wealth. Again, it reminds me of Jesus saying the kingdom of the heaven is like a man who found a pearl of great value and went home and sold everything he can just to go buy that pearl. And that's what it's like when you have Jesus. Nothing else matters. When you have learned to delight in the presence of Jesus every day, when you've learned how to enjoy him from the moment you wake up in the morning, that's when you start to live life. You realize that everything is a distant second. Everything. To knowing Jesus. To feasting on his presence. To just loving on him and receiving his love and worshiping him. Everything becomes a distant second. Nothing else matters. You want to give it all away. It doesn't matter to you because you realize that your life doesn't consist of things, but it consists of him. And this is evident right here. And I encourage you to really meditate upon that and to see that Jesus is truly, he truly is a pearl of great value. I mean, when you have Jesus, you have everything. Really, you do. And if you believed on him, he lives in you right now. And you can enjoy him right now. That Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that, my friends, is your good shepherd, Jesus Christ. He is a good shepherd. We have plenty of good teachers in this country. We have plenty of good mentors. But can I tell you why Jesus is the good shepherd, friends? He's your good shepherd because not only does he teach you, not only does he guide you, but he lays his life down for you. He lays his life. He truly cares about you. He truly loves you. I mean, can you just stop to really meditate on how much Jesus Christ loves you? To compare himself to a shepherd that will give his life for the sheep? I mean, who would give their life for sheep? Who would give their life for sheep? I mean, but he does that for you, and he's willing to go and find you. He's willing to go and convict you. Come to me. Worship me. I live in you. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Let me come in and dine with you. Please let me in. I love you. That's what he's trying to do. He's always trying to bring us back in. And all I can say is that he's good. He is really good. He is one of a kind. He goes out and seeks that which is lost. He makes a big deal about people who are lost. I mean, he doesn't just forget about them. They're his business. Amen. You're his business. And he really desires all of your heart. He doesn't just want part of it. He wants all of it. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, he was in the temple and he was looking at people dropping off money into the offering, and there was people who were dropping money, and this woman came and put two mites in there, two, you know, let's say pennies, this poor woman. And Jesus brought attention to her and said, look, everyone was coming and dropping off money from their surplus, but she gave two pennies, which was all she had. And I believe that that's what Jesus wants from you, all of you. He doesn't just want from what's extra. Oh, I have a little time at the end of my day, and I think I'll just go worship the Lord. I think I'll just go praise the Lord. No. He wants all of you. In fact, I'll probably do the next podcast on that story because I think it's really good that, you know, Jesus Christ wants all of you, and he'll go find you to get it. He wants your devotion, and that's when you're truly living, when you're walking in devotion to Christ. That's when the circumstances and the situations around you just don't matter anymore. I don't even have to know what you're going through to know that the presence of Jesus Christ is more than enough. It's not just enough. It's more than enough. It's a surplus. It's abundant. That's why he says, I come to give life and life more abundantly. Well, what's that life he comes to give? His life for you, in you, all day. So we can close right here. Lord Jesus, we just lift you up and praise you and thank you for just showing us your work and how you touch lives. And God, you truly are an amazing God. You really are. And you love us so much. And open our eyes to see your love. Open our eyes to experience you in your presence in us, in our hearts right now. Draw us to you, Lord. In your name, we give you praise. Amen.